910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Massachusetts health officials confirming a second case of eastern equine encephalitis in a human spread by mosquitoes. The state's public health department says it was a woman in her 30s. Officials also confirm a second confirmed case of the triple E virus in a horse. Both were infected in Plymouth County, where officials are spraying to reduce the mosquito population. In Boston, GOP vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance delivering remarks at the International Association of Firefighters Convention, thanking them for their service. He was greeted with both cheers and some boos.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Well, Semper Fi, guys. It sounds like we got some fans and some haters. That's okay.
Vance says he and Donald Trump will support policies that help stop the flow of drugs at the southern border. On the campaign trail, Democratic nominee Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz continue their bus tour in Georgia. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Carrie Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. COVID-19 activity is running high in parts of Wisconsin. That's based on wastewater data, hospital admissions, and lab testing. State epidemiologist Tom Haupt says late summer COVID spikes are now the norm.
That could be due to the fact that people's immunity is starting to wane from last fall's vaccinations or have been infected before.
The new booster shot is rolling out, and Haupt says it should be effective against the current strains going around. Governor Evers' changes to school spending in the state budget will stand. Dane County Judge Steve Adelke ruled this week the changes Evers made are allowed under state law. Evers used his partial veto to transform spending on school literacy into a general spending increase for the Department of Public Instruction. He also cut grants for school vouchers and private schools. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to wear a life jacket if they plan on hitting the water for Labor Day weekend. DNR officials say there have been 13 boating-related fatalities this year, 9 of which involved people who were not wearing a life jacket. Wisconsin law also requires an available and correctly sized life jacket for each person aboard a boat. Officials are also reminding residents to follow safe boating practices like slowing down at night and telling someone where you're going before leaving. Duluth residents are expressing concerns over lakeside erosion at a local cemetery. According to a Northern News Now report, the Scandia Cemetery has been plagued by harsh conditions, even causing some human remains to resurface because of the erosion. City officials are looking into options for addressing the erosion, even though the cemetery is privately owned. St. Louis County crews have also fenced off and blocked certain areas of the cemetery that have been more deeply affected by the erosion for the time being. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A big inning leads to a big win in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. The Brewers used a 5-run fifth inning to win 5-3 over the San Francisco Giants Wednesday night. William Contreras hit a 2-run home run in the inning, while Freddy Peralta struck out 8 in 6 innings of work as Milwaukee climbed to 20 games over 500. The series finale is Thursday afternoon. The Green Bay Packers cut their roster down to 53 this week, including making some big decisions at kicker and running back. General Manager Brian Gutekunst said the roster's talent made it difficult to make cuts.
This is a really tough, 3-4 days for everybody involved. It's not easy to go through this process and make these decisions, but more importantly, you got a lot of young men in there that have put a ton of work into this, and to kind of have to, tell them you don't want to move on, but just by rules you have to, and so it's really tough.
The Packers open the season a week from tomorrow against the Eagles in Brazil. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy and breezy today, with warm high temperatures rising to 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms are expected to strike after 5 p.m., and some storms could be severe, producing some heavy torrential rainfall. Flash flooding is possible, but remember, we have a beautiful weekend ahead. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Donald Trump will be in La Crosse on Thursday evening for a town hall, and Crude will be on site in anticipation of the festive gala. Be here for the greatest radio show ever.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. How y'all doing today?
Doing great.
It's Friday Eve.
It is definitely Friday Eve.
The Brewers won? I mean, they
did win. I was keeping track on the score, and then I went down a rabbit hole about Taylor Swift.
Uh-oh.
The Cubs are winning because of Taylor Swift.
Is that a thing?
Yes. I actually have sound of it. You want to hear it? Craig Counsell.
Heck yeah.
The whole reason that the Cubs are winning right now, are on a winning streak, is because of Craig Counsell getting...
Give me that sound.
All
right,
here we go.
All right. Or a little more Beyonce. I love that too.
Well, I think we have to start with Taylor Swift. There's a lot of Swifties in Cubs Nation, and there might be some luck coming from those Swifties that have impacted the Cubs. Can you describe the impact of Taylor Swift as of late?
I was gifted a Taylor Swift candle, and we've been lighting that before games in my office. It's clubhouse manager Danny Miller, and we've found a nice little run here, so we're going to credit Taylor Swift.
There we go.
That was Taylor McGregor on the Marquee Sports Network, and I just want to tell you, the name of the candle is This Smells Like Taylor Swift.
For real, though?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's working out so well for the Cubs. By my
they're on a streak. I mean, they're still not there. They have a lot of math to get over.
Yeah, over the last 10 games, 7-3. Brewers are 6-4. Brew Crew's still up 9 games on the dreaded Cubbies. I mean,
it's not the Cubs they're looking at. They're looking at the wild card, which is the Braves, and the Braves have also gone 7-3. So they went nowhere. But they did better than they were before, and that's the important thing.
Continuous improvement.
That's what baseball's about.
That's what every business is about. Welcome, y'all. It is the Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Really happy to be here with you. We are hoping to get Mr. County Executive David Crowley. There he is. Very handsome this afternoon, my former boss. How are you?
Oh, every day is a good day. It's good to see you, Maggie. How are you doing?
It's great to see you, too. I'm doing really well. First of all, let me just say thanks for doing today at the DNC every day with me. That was so much fun. It was an amazing, amazing convention. I know you're on a tight schedule, and I wanted to bring you on to talk about the legislation that you just signed, announcing Milwaukee County's Vision Zero policy commitment to try to combat reckless driving and eliminate fatal crashes. Tell everybody about it.
Well, first and foremost, I know that there are a lot of members of our community have been just impacted by the reckless driving that has been happening all throughout our community. But also, you know, for me, you know, I got an older daughter and she's getting ready to get her license. And so as I think about her and her future, I want to make sure that she has access to safe roadways for herself. And so this resolution is really about how we're going to be working with five suburban municipalities, Greendale, Shorewood, South Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, and West Allis. And what we're going to do is we're going to put up some temporary measures to help calm the traffic, help slow things down. And what this will allow us to do in the future is, one, get a designation for us to be known as a Vision Zero community that will allow us to go after federal dollars, bringing in more dollars so we can invest in many of the suburban communities to have permanent infrastructure in place to help slow people down.
This is a really big deal. And I mean, yes. You mentioned that your daughter is getting ready to have her learner's permit. Terrifying for any parent. But certainly, I think, you know, these days, a little bit extra terrifying. What sort of calming measures and infrastructural changes can people expect to see? And I did want to just also hit this. Every single person wants more intergovernmental cooperation. And so this is such an amazing example of that, David, working with five municipalities. It really has to be a collective effort. So bravo on that point. But to get back to the question, what sort of changes can people expect to see to help folks slow down?
Well, just to point that out, we all have a role to play when it comes down to the safety and well-being of our community members. And so, these will be temporary measures. So whether you see, you know, cones out there, whether you see orange barrels out there, or those temporary strips that you see standing out in the medians and in roadways, we're going to be putting those out there. And this is really what's interesting about this, is that this actually gives us an opportunity to use a data-informed approach. And so the reason why they're temporary is because we want to utilize that data to see what measures can we put in place, what actually makes a greater impact. So when we actually put these permanent infrastructure measures in place, we know that we're putting infrastructure in place that absolutely matters, and the data is telling us it's going to slow down traffic. And so you will see, again, a lot of different things out there. Again, temporary measures, you'll see cones, you'll see the barrels, and again, you will see those strips out there to help us paint a better picture of what we need to do proactively to slow people down on the roadways.
It's amazing, David. I think you just said, hey, we have some ideas about what might work. So we're going to put those in, you know, on a temporary basis. Then we're going to look at the data, see what actually works, and then maybe make some permanent, much more expensive infrastructural changes. Is that the layperson's version of it? Boy, as a taxpayer, that makes me excited. You know, government using data before making major dollar investments.
Well, it's extremely key, right? We don't want to just throw our money towards infrastructure projects that may not actually work, right? Mm. We don't want to throw, you know, good money after these ideas, because we know it can go right down the drain and then we'll have to go back to the drawing board. But what this also allows is for community members, those who are commuting every single day throughout Milwaukee County, whether you live here or not, or traveling through, to give us your feedback. And so we need everybody to kind of step up. Again, every role isn't for everybody, but we all have a role to play when it comes down to a safety in our communities. And so we're deploying this measure because we want to create a stronger relationship with these municipalities, right? And because Milwaukee County, we don't own all of these roads. We don't, right. You know, we own a fraction of these roads. And so we can't just do this on by ourselves. We can't do this alone. And quite frankly, combating the reckless driving epidemic is going to take all of us, and it's going to take some creativity. So this is going to be a great partnership. Looking forward to working with these five different municipalities surrounding the city of Milwaukee, because I think the community absolutely understands that this isn't just affecting the city of Milwaukee. This is affecting our entire county. And quite frankly, if you look at some of the Department of Transportation data within the state of Wisconsin, we've seen an increase in collisions all throughout the entire state. And so not only are we're doing this, but people can always visit our motor vehicle collision dashboard, where you can look at data to see what is happening, what kind of vehicles, and what has been the cause of these collisions at the same time. And I want to be very clear, you don't hear me saying accidents. These are collisions. And in some cases, when people are driving recklessly, we can't call that an accident. We have to call a thing of what it is. And when it's reckless driving, this is collisions. And so anything that we can do to either reduce or eliminate Any collisions that result in death or serious bodily harm goes a long way in our community.
So much there, David. You always speak with so much information and data. It's really incredible. You mentioned a dashboard. Where can people find that to look up some of these data points that you're speaking of?
You know, I don't know the website off the top of my head, but please Google, literally Google, a Milwaukee County dashboard, right? And you will see all the different dashboards that we have up there. So we have one on motor vehicle collisions, but we have one on our employees. We have one on housing. We have one on opioids. Because as government, we have to take a data-informed approach, because this is one of the best ways that we can make sure that we're utilizing the people's tax dollars very prudently.
Well, of course, I just immediately Googled Milwaukee County Dashboard Motor Vehicles and found it. It is that simple. And I want
to put a link in the podcast, just so we know.
And everybody, we will put a link. You can go to civicmedia.us after the show this afternoon. We will obviously have Mr. County Executive's interview, but we will include that link there. Because of the nature of the data that is housed on the dashboard, it's not a real simplistic website handle. So just Google Milwaukee County Dashboard Motor Vehicles, and it takes you right there. Before I have to let you go, Mr. County Executive, I wanted to ask you about these dashboards, because they began during COVID when I was still at the county, and we really led the nation in this kind of data transparency. We now have dashboards, not just that relate to public health, but we have dashboards. You mentioned a few of them. I want to, first of all, say thank you for championing data transparency and reporting to the public. Let people know again, what kind of data, what are these dashboards that you can find out and look at all kinds of information about Milwaukee County?
Well, let me backtrack and start where you started from. You know, we started this in 2020 with the COVID-19 dashboard. And quite frankly, it was recognized nationally where people were coming to Milwaukee County, calling us to figure out what we were doing and how we were deploying strategies with these dashboards. And we were one of the first communities to actually track ethnicity and race explicitly because of the nature of particularly African-Americans at the onset of the pandemic who are dying. And so this is really giving us the approach to bring the data. We are utilizing this data, bringing experts, not just within Milwaukee County, right? But we have our external stakeholders. This also allows nonprofits, businesses, and just community members in general to have access to the data. And when you get this data, it paints a picture in real time as far as what is happening. Again, we have one on opioid overdoses. We have one on housing that shows, you know, how many homeowners, how many renters are out there. We have one on our employees, understanding who we're employing, so we have a better understanding if we're representing the entire community as it relates to our diversity. And again, as we talk about the motor vehicle collisions. And so if we want to make sure that we're saving taxpayer dollars, but also, you know, investing these dollars wisely into many initiatives that we want to work, we have to make sure that we're collecting the data. And this is just one way that we're not just doing it ourselves, but also helping other communities and other folks at the forefront of working around these issues to be able to make informed decisions. So I appreciate this opportunity to talk about these dashboards.
Mr. County Executive for Milwaukee County, David Crowley, it's always a pleasure to have you. And again, it's great to see you do the things you do now as just a regular resident and taxpayer and not your corporation counsel, sir. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for making time. We're going to be back with maybe another expert from Milwaukee County, talking about vaccines and West Nile and things. We're hoping Dr. Ben Weston, medical policy, health policy advisor to Milwaukee County, joins us next here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
We've included a Venn diagram.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, my thanks to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, friend of mine, now a friend of yours, frequent guest on the show. Brian, I am always so impressed by what Milwaukee County is trying to get done in terms of these innovations and using data and the leadership that David and Marcelia and the county board, like, that is what people expect and should be able to rely upon government to do.
The technology to be able to help and the technology to get data out there and the information is much more readily available and easy to attain. And it's important that government also keeps up with technology because, you know, it's kind of dumb when, you know, you go into a government agency and they're still using the laptops from 1980.
Yeah, like Lotus Notes.
Yeah, what is going on?
They get out the abacus.
There was a BlackBerry thing where they were using BlackBerries still, and I'm like, what? Well,
so there's actually a reason behind the BlackBerry use.
Well, that's the security, right?
Yep, it is way easier to secure data on the BlackBerry platform, and indeed, I think there are still some government officials that will use the BlackBerry. Personally, I don't know about you all out there, 855-752-4842. We'll just do a little straw poll over the course of the show. Pro BlackBerry? I mean, you got to be over the age of, what, 35, 40 to know about the BlackBerry.
But there are some people who, like, when they stopped using it, didn't know what to do with themselves. I can't feel my buttons.
I need a trackball. Anybody out there, you want to weigh in? Pro BlackBerry or so happy to be on my iPhone or Sam's Google-enabled device. I miss my BlackBerry. I could basically drive stick shift, send a formal legal email.
The amount of things I've done
and take a call all at the same time.
The amount of things I've done at the same time is using a stick shift. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to go down some sort of scary path.
We almost went there yesterday. So let's not repeat that. I'm learning. See, the important thing is you get to adapt and change to the times and do better next time. And that's what we all want to do. We want government to evolve, and we want government to be able to use the data at hand to move forward and be as, you know, I don't know, as efficient as the rest of business is.
So speaking of data and speaking of traffic calming and slowing down, I wanted David on not just to announce this new initiative and legislation that he signed, but also because just this week, just a couple days ago, there was a headline in the Journal Sentinel that Wisconsin drivers have the second highest percent of speeding tickets in the country.
Great job, everyone.
I mean, where are we going so fast? I thought we were above the stress line since we had crossed the Illinois-Wisconsin border. I thought we were like chiller drivers. I don't know. Y'all want to talk about the last time you got a speeding ticket? 855-752-4842. Have you gotten a speeding ticket recently? Were you speeding like a ridiculous amount? Will you cop to it live on the radio? 855-752-4842. I will tell you something. My friend, I was in a car with my friend recently. She got pulled over. But outside of Milwaukee County, I think that's one of the things, like, speed enforcement varies greatly depending on which county you're in.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, big time. So it's interesting to me. Is this a Wisconsinite speed way more than everybody else? Or is this a we enforce the heck out of our speed limits cause and effect? My guess is it's probably both. Like
probably
many
a little
things,
bit of both.
Right?
Also, there is that wonderful, gigantic, like 70-lane highway that Foxconn got for all of us between the border and Milwaukee. So,
yeah, just it's like the Wisconsin Autobahn.
It's begging for just. I looked down and I was like, I'm doing 90. I got to slow down. This is ridiculous.
I am just waiting and hoping. I have my fingers crossed that I am observant of how fast I'm driving because I recently bought a new car. I had driven what I can call lovingly a beater for many years. I was very responsible about it. I worked downtown. I lived downtown. So, like, why the heck would I spend a bunch of money on a car? Because I literally drove in basically a 1 mile radius around the east side in downtown of Milwaukee. But now that I come out to Waukesha to do this great show every day, beautiful downtown Waukesha here at the WAUK, I got myself new wheels. That thing is like a rocket ship. I'll look down and it feels real smooth. I'm like, why am I passing everyone? I'm going 90.
And you don't even know it, do
Don't
you?
Even know it. Definitely have had to slow myself down. Folks, when was your last speeding ticket? Did you feel like they were nitpicking or were you way over? Jeff from Wind Lake, when was your last speeding ticket, friend?
Probably 3 years ago. I actually don't speed that much. But I was just going to say, it's a reflection of enforcement more than anything, heightened enforcement, that is.
Yeah, I think that definitely has to be part of it. I think I tend to see more sheriff's deputies and stateies out on the highways when I'm driving around Wisconsin. Do you have that same perception, Jeff?
Yes, Maggie. Yeah. So my commute to work involves going down corridor highway, and it is not uncommon. You know, I pass through many municipalities. It is not uncommon for me to see, you know, 4 to 5 different municipalities policing the same stretch of roadway, and I probably go through about 6, but any given time there's about 4 or 5 policing it for speeding.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Jeff. Wherever you're driving, please drive safely. Yeah, I get the impression that we have a lot of folks out patrolling the roads, which, to the point about creating a safe environment and making sure people are getting to where they need to go in their cars safely. I mean, yeah, slowing down matters.
But
a lot.
I also don't mind having a lot of them out there because they can respond to immediate crashes faster.
Yes.
They can be there faster and help out.
It's an overall good thing. So according to the article, 7.8% of Wisconsin drivers had a speeding ticket on record in 2024. Like, that is a big percentage.
That's a lot.
Also, and by the way, we tied for second with our neighboring friend, Ohio, for that percentage. Ohioans also at 7.8%. Now, unlike Ohio, according to the Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin doesn't have a ticket quota, which I think is really interesting. Ohio has a ticket quota, which is what it sounds like. There is a minimum number of speeding tickets that police officers must issue over a certain period of time.
I don't like that idea because it puts your officers in an awkward position.
Sure does. You got to be nitpicky. Might bring up some questions about unconscious bias and things like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not gives me a little bit of the ick factor. Dennis from West Allis saying his last speeding ticket was in 1989. Hats off to you, sir. But he drives for a living, and Dennis says that he was in an accident in July, and a week later, he was in another accident, not his fault. Dennis, brother, I'll share you my back-to-back accident stories when we come back, and I'm an excellent driver. I also want to shout out...
Yeah, of course you are.
Of course I am. Joshua from Wausau says he misses his BlackBerry. His last tickets were 7 years ago, going 13 over. See, I think that's a little nitpicky. 15 and less... That should get a pass. We'll talk about it some more when we come back. We got a jam-packed show. Maggie and the Millionaires coming up at top of the hour. Stick with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't drive angry. Don't drive angry.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Wisconsin Ag Coalition is hosting a summer farm tour series for state office candidates. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. This coalition is made up of commodity groups, agribusinesses, and processors, including the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Director of Government Relations Jason Munyaini says these farm tours are meant to connect candidates of any party to agriculture.
What this is it's an effort for us to educate candidates and legislators and those looking to seek elected office about agriculture, teach them what it is to grow crops, to have livestock. We want to make sure that people understand what it takes to be successful in the unpredictable world of agriculture. And as you look back in years past, a lot of times we had farmers in the state legislature, and those farmers are kind of, you know, becoming less and less. So as organizations that represent farmers and agribusinesses and different commodities, we want to make sure that we're showcasing our industry.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Director of Government Relations, Jason Munyaini, catching up with us on their fourth stop in the series of 12. We got more agribusiness news coming your way.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam. What I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
A reminder that you're going to want to get your Packers watch party tickets before they're gone. The fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke and the Wisconsin FFA Foundation are co-hosting this event at Pam's residence in Titletown. This will be the evening of September 6th. The event will not only feature the Packers taking on the Eagles in Brazil, but you'll also enjoy live music and food and drink. Learn more at Midwest Farm Report. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is hosting the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest. This is when they'll crown a Wisconsin-made product as the coolest thing made in our state. Being as we are the Midwest Farm Report, I encourage you to submit an agricultural product. You can do that at madeinwis.com, madeinwis.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and breezy today, with warm high temperatures rising to 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms are expected to strike after 5 p.m., and some storms could be severe, producing some heavy torrential rainfall. Flash flooding is possible, but remember, we have a beautiful weekend ahead. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTime'sIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and political editor of Civic Media, joins us at 10:30. Be here.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Everybody, you're welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My producer with me, as always and ever, fancy Brian Kelly. We're talking about speeding tickets and the like, because apparently we both like to speed and like to have speeding tickets issued. Lots of enforcement here in the state of Wisconsin. We're apparently the second highest state in the country for speeding tickets, tied with Ohio. I had asked all of you, when was your last speeding ticket? Do you think this is enforcement or speeding or a bit of both? 855-752-4842. I also promised you all that I would share my last little story about accidents. I have not gotten a speeding ticket in, I can't even remember when. I cannot remember.
I got a lot of them when I was young. Then my license was suspended.
Mm.
And then I was in.
You learned the hard way.
And then I was in Chicago without a license for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Public transportation is helpful.
I love public transportation.
Me too. So I had two speeding tickets when I was young. I was 18 years old. So I'll tell you the story of my two speeding tickets back to back when I was 18. And then I'll tell you about my two recent little fender benders. So when I was 18, I, like every young person, you drive stupidly. You just do. And I am frequently late. It's still a bad habit to this day. All of my friends know you have to tell me a half, like if the party starts at 8, 7 is probably a safe time to tell me. I have a tardiness issue. I apologize to everyone whom I'm frustrated over the years. So when I was 18, still had a tardiness problem, always rushing, got two speeding tickets like 30 days apart. And they weren't like small. It was 20 miles per hour over some hefty margin. So I had to break this news to my parents because I was still on their insurance, of course. So you'll all love this. Here's a little pro tip. When breaking bad news, especially if you have to break really bad news to someone, I suggest you do it as you're walking in to preferably some very, very happy, fun event that's in public with a lot of people. Like, just as you're walking in the door, okay? My parents, they still tell this story. I think I've shared this with you all. I was very lucky to get a full ride academic scholarship to Marquette University. Very fortunate. And so when did I tell my parents about my two speeding tickets less than 30 days apart? Oh, yes. When we were walking into the scholarship banquet honoring the 10 Bradley scholars that got the full rides. As the door was opening, I was like, oh, I forgot to tell you both. I might have gotten two speeding tickets within 30 days.
Might have.
I love you. Let's go celebrate my free ride to college. Let's put, see, in perspective, it's like free college tuition. What's a couple of speeding tickets? They still tell that story. So, yes, if breaking really bad news, do it in public and preferably at a joyous event.
So go back in time and win a scholarship is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Go back in time, earn a scholarship, break the news when the scholarship's happened.
That was literally the most ideal circumstance.
Oh, I know. That's amazing to walk into. That's good. That's good.
They almost didn't get mad because...
Opportunism is great.
Right. Timing is everything, as they say.
For sure.
So most recently, I was in the throes of trying to make the decision to come to Civic Media. And I was super stressed out about it. I wasn't sleeping well. And I was in a county board meeting for like 8 hours that day. And like all old buildings, government or otherwise, the heat is either like blasting or off. So it was like 80 degrees in the room. It was really stifling.
It's stuffy.
Hadn't had enough to eat. And I was so stressed out, got in my car, my beater. I drove a beater. Loved it. Leather interior, moonroof, 6 CD changer. I mean, it was luxurious.
You're
going to
be my
regard.
Friend Kevin, man.
got in the car. I was completely zoned out driving home, eyes straight ahead. And I like slow rolled at maybe 20 miles an hour into the back of the vehicle immediately in front of me. Just staring dead at it.
Yeah. Yep, I know exactly.
Oh, my
yep.
God.
I've avoided that like 15 times. But yes, I know what you're talking about.
Huh. So that was one which precipitated the demise of the beater, which led to the new speedy fun car. A little irresponsible, but paid for in cash. Bought the new fun car. Had the car for 30 hours. I was in hour 30. Was backing out of a driveway and a 20-year-old woman texting swiped my bumper.
Great stuff.
$7,000 worth of damage. Ta-da!
So even when you're paying attention, you can run into stuff, and then you can be victim of other people when you are paying attention, actually.
Exactly. Folks, Mary from Wauwatosa, when was your last speeding ticket? Do you think it's enforcement or speeding or both that puts us second in the nation for speeding tickets?
Hey, Maggie, I'm not a speeder, so I really can't fess up about that. I remember years ago I heard the idea, don't race the clock with a car, and that's probably, kept me in line here. But appreciate your having David Crowley on about Milwaukee County's slow initiative. And I'd like to give a shout-out to Steve O'Connell from the Sherman Park area. A lot of credit for raising this need decades ago. He used to have we neighbors standing out on Capitol Drive in Fond du Lac with our signs asking people to slow down. And lastly, the drivers that I least like to share the road with because they're not sharing are the drivers of the large vehicles like 4x4 and SUVs. They're guilty, too, of aggressive driving. So the car that's, and I drive the speed limit or, no more than 5 over, but the car that's, the vehicle is big in my rear view mirror, and again, aggressive driving are one of those big vehicles.
Yeah, they can be really spooky, especially if they're speeding and then riding your bumper and it's some huge old SUV. I agree with you, Mary. I get nervous. I move over. Oh, you want to go real fast? Go ahead.
I have no problem with moving over for people. If you're going slow, stay on the right side. If you're going fast, go to the left. And if someone's coming up behind you, move over. Yeah. It's a lot easier. Let them go.
Share the road.
Let them go.
Troy from Mount Horeb, when was your last speeding ticket? What is your comment, sir, this afternoon?
It's been a while. I don't even remember my last speeding ticket, but I was coming out of Rosendale going to Waupun.
Yep.
In my corrections uniform. I was working, and I've got kind of a lead foot anyway, so I was driving, and a cop pulled me over and started bawling me out.
Oh, for real? With your CO uniform?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, we're from the same team.
What if I was on your unit and I broke the rules and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, he's not even asked me for my driver's license yet. So I just sat there and took it.
Well, that is, did you end up getting a ticket or did he just chew you out?
No, he just chewed me out and then turned around and walked off.
Well, you got lucky, sir. Troy, so, I'm glad you snuck out of that.
Absolutely.
I've been to the Waupun facility. Thank you for your service up there. Being a CO is a damn hard job. Derek from Wausau, what's your speeding story? When did you get your ticket last? All that good stuff. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh. So I got my last speeding ticket. I was driving. I lived in Louisville, Kentucky at the time, but I was moving to South Carolina like a week later. But I was going to visit my roommate's family in Youngstown, Ohio. So I was driving like 5 hours through Ohio. And outside of Columbus, I stopped to fill up for gas. And a police officer pulled up behind me and said that an airplane clocked me going 16 over the speed limit.
An airplane?
An airplane clocked me going 16 over the speed limit.
Did you say, like, what are you even talking about?
They do have aircraft enforced enforcement zones, and they put up signs.
For real?
Speed aircraft enforced. Yeah, they're all over the state here, as well as all over the country, too.
I hate that story, Derek. I mean, I love it. Thank you for calling. But
I've never had a speeding ticket in my life. I've never had a speeding ticket in my life. And I get this one, and I had my cruise set at 70 miles per hour. They knew that I would not appear to dispute it because I live 4 hours away. So I ended up paying the $110 speeding ticket, and my insurance rates went up.
Yes, I'm sure they did. Derek, thank you so much for calling and listening. Annie from Watertown, when was your last ticket?
Well, I had an accident that I was going to mention.
Go for it.
I made a right turn on red, and apparently it offended one of the many people waiting at my left for the light to turn, which it did fairly immediately after I had made the turn. Lots of traffic around me, and this guy's beeping and beeping his big truck on my rear end. And he somehow got around, and then he pulled in front of me, hit the brakes. I hit the brakes. He lets up and then hit the brakes again, and then I hit him, totaled my car. And if it wasn't for him walking around screaming, hollering, and yelling at me, which, you know, that's the thing. If I would have had a gun, I could have shot him, right? Crazy, crazy guy. And if it wasn't for him making all that noise, where there were plenty of witnesses to this guy being a nut.
Yes.
I don't think I would have
gotten out of it
with it because I rear-ended him. But
oh my goodness, Annie. I've had a couple of road rage encounters myself. And when somebody starts raging at me, I always give them the what me worry, like Alfred E. Newman, like, oh, I'm sorry. Give them the wave, like, don't, just to try to diffuse it, like, big smile. Because, I mean, Annie's right. I worry about people driving around with weapons, but I don't want to get into an altercation, even though, you know, I've admitted on the show before, I'm a wee bit of an angry driver. Rageaholic in the car myself.
So my daughter, I used to drive her to preschool all the time, and yep. I was pulled by the teacher after a class, and I picked her up, and she said,
"You mean you were requested to stay after class by the teacher, Brian?"
So your daughter has been playing with cars today, and she was playing really nicely, but she was screaming the F word every time she hit another car. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me. That's on me.
#learned behavior.
So I got hit while driving 80. I got rear-ended while driving 80.
Did you fishtail?
No. Huh. I magically did not fishtail because the guy came directly up behind me and hit me directly behind.
Intentional?
No, it was negligent. The guy was doing like, I was doing 80. And I was
coming
back from Madison.
So he must have been going like 85, 90.
He must have been doing 100.
Wow.
Because I got impact. Like, I got surged forward when I'm doing 80. So I had changed lanes. He probably didn't see me, and he changed lanes too and then surged because he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the road rage thing. He did pull over, and he was
angry.
He seemed a little mad until I got out of the car, and then he was like...
And then you unfurled your 6'5" of you?
Yes, and he was like, oh, that was my bad. And I got him on tape.
Saying
I pulled out my phone. I just said... This is your fault? He's like, yes, this is my fault. I did this, and I got all of it.
Perfect. Good
Didn't have to do anything, and it wasn't damaged because it was under the threshold of what my bumper could take, but it surged my car forward. I got rear-ended.
Going 80. That's horrifying. I got swiped once on the expressway going like a goodly amount. That almost scared me to death because the car like kind of... I'm an excellent driver, recovered. Road America, here I come. Kurt from Madison, when was your last ticket?
February of this year, and I'm going to call it entrapment. Verona exit, got to the lighted intersection, turned left. Car was coming over the lane, so it's focusing on the car. So the speed limit sign for 35 is right at the intersection, so you had to drive another third of a mile down that frontage road to get to see a sign for 35. So it was a frontage road, no homes, no nothing. So I did 45, saw the sign, slowed down. Then I saw the police officer parked there, and I got the ticket.
Go ahead.
I challenged it in court.
Did you win?
In court, but over the phone. No. It was the matter of fact, the attorney in Verona was very belligerent.
That's lovely. Were you like, hey, Llama, how about a little something for the effort? I applaud you showing up and advocating for yourself, Kurt. We'll wrap it up. We're all almost at the top of the hour, folks. We, of course, have Maggie and the Millionaires clocking in at the top of the hour. You're not going to want to miss that. And we're going to listen to J.D. Vance getting booed at an event when we come back. We might even talk about these weird... Donald Trump seems to be on a retweeting binge. And he's, of course, saying terribly sexist things about women and the vice president. We'll do all that when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Fancy Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all.
Too fast, too furious.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
November 21st, 2021. The Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration, turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an eight-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away.
The Brewers look to be bringing it home today. They're up 6-0 on the San Francisco Giants. I love it. My dad just texted me, "Honey, I can't listen to your show today. I'm at the Brewers game with my buddy." Love you, Dad. Thank you. Crew up 6-0 in the rubber match against the San Francisco Giants. Speaking of traffic and driving and all these things, if you're around that I-94 exchange by AmFam Field, folks, take your time. Be careful. The game will probably let out right around rush hour. It's made that area a little difficult. Our good friend Chris texting in on the WAUK text line. He's 47. He's not gotten a speeding ticket ever. Not one. Wow.
Well, I assume you're going to get one pretty soon there, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to drive a lot for the J-O-B. Angie from Monroe also weighing in saying the tailgating is the worst. Especially with big trucks. No kidding. I used to, again, because of my rageaholicness in the car, I used to be one of those people when somebody was tailgating me that would like tap my and then like just slowly slow down. I have stopped doing that. I just get out of the way because I'm so worried that people are going to lose their freaking minds.
Yeah. Also, I hate it when people try and make you change physics. Like, I can't make the person in front of me go faster, but you on me, does it make me that make them go, like, you're not pushing anything.
That's one of the reasons that I hate being stuck behind SUVs and trucks because I cannot see around them. And I'm definitely like head is on swivel. I'm trying to absorb all the information I can about how the spatial dynamics in front of me are changing. And when I can't see, I hate it. That said, I think a lot of people get SUVs or the, what do they call those? Like mids where it's between like an SUV and a car, whatever those are. People get
Rogues?
Them. Yeah. A Nissan Rogue. People get those cars, I think, a lot of the time because you can see better. That's actually a motivation for getting them. I know my mom was like, yeah, I want to be sitting up high so I can see everything that's going on.
Although Nissans do have a notorious blind spot, but they're pretty good as far as sight otherwise.
Well, I didn't mean to spend all this time on this, but I do have to say I hate a lot of cars because they have terrible blind spots.
Sometimes for
safety. And manufacturers think, oh, well, we'll put the like lane change warning thing. No. I want my own two eyes to be able to see.
That gives you a little bit more distraction, and then you get reliant on the technology, and the technology isn't the actual thing.
It's like people who can't read maps these days.
Yeah.
What is that with that? Cam from Appleton saying, hey, Maggie and Brian, I drive a 2021 Dodge Challenger Scat Pack, which I don't know what that is. Never had a ticket of any kind. Previous two cars were also Mustangs, meaning He drives real fast automobiles, never had a speeding ticket. Well, what's the point of the fast automobiles if you're not driving them fast?
Well, you can bring them over to the speedway and go.
Little Road America action.
Do your thing, man.
I was at Elkhart Lake recently, and I noticed that at all the most of the gas stations around there, they have like racing fuel. 103 octane.
Oh.
So like because of the car I bought, I now have to use like the super premium 93.
Yeah.
Very expensive. And I was like, ooh, I wonder what would happen to the car if I put 103 octane in it and let her rip.
Yeah, you gotta have the engine to do it because sometimes
you do.
It gets
they're
a little,
not compatible.
Little
hot. Yep. In fact, if I'm not gonna put 93 in the tank, I gotta change some setting in the car so it knows what it's burning. Isn't that interesting?
That's interesting.
Isn't it? Folks, JD Vance. This is my new nickname for JD. What the heck did he just say, Vance? The gift that keeps on giving. Best vice presidential pick ever. If it's not some weird offensive statement being resurrected from his past or him in a blonde wig and drag from his past, he also just blew it in real time.
Which, by the way, if you're in a blonde wig and drag, good for you.
Good for you.
But don't rail against those people when later on.
Exactly. It's the hypocrisy. So, J.D. Vance was in Boston visiting with some firefighters. He apparently he's like the cleanup detail for the Trump Trump Vance ticket. He's basically like trailing around like a snail, like wherever Tim Walz or Kamala Harris go, like, oop, JD Vance will pop up, say something stupid, offend another group of people, and then slink away. This is what happened yesterday. Walz had spoken to the firefighters union. So where does Vance pop up? Oh, I'll talk. You're not the only one that gets to talk to firefighters. So Vance shows up in Boston talking to some firefighters. Folks, listen to the reception he got.
That's this afternoon, by the way.
Just this afternoon.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Well, Semper Fi, guys. We got some, it sounds like we got some fans and some haters. That's okay.
He got booed by firefighters. A right-wing candidate got booed by firefighters.
Let's all enjoy
look
the moment, shall we? Can we listen to it again?
Yes,
let's just enjoy it. Let's enjoy
Thank
it together,
guys.
Shall we?
Thank you so much. Well, Semper Fi, guys. We got some. It sounds like we got some fans and some haters. That's okay.
That's okay. I love getting booed. Said no one ever. What a loser. Yeah, that's got to be a little awkward. How do you recover? I love how he thought, well, I'll just say Semper Fi. A couple guys
yelled out Semper Fi in
greeting.
Yeah, in more of like a Semper Fi, I'm mad. You're making fun of my guys, Semper Fi. Like, my dad was a Marine. He doesn't go around saying Semper Fi to everybody.
No. One of my best friends is a Marine, second female navigator and an F-18 fighter jet ever in the Marines.
Met her. She's awesome.
Yeah. She's big hearts. You know who you are. She listens a bit. Yeah. As we go out and hit top of the hour, we got Maggie and the Millionaires coming up next. Really excited. Got a fabulous guest. We're talking about rich folk in America. You're not going to want to miss that. Maybe we'll, can we get the boo one more time? No? Yes? Hello, boo. So much fun.
I'm going to play it on the way out.
Oh, we're going to play the boo. J.D. Vance getting booed by firefighters in Boston this afternoon. We come back. It's Maggie and the Millionaires time talking money. You're not going to want to miss this one. I'm really excited about it. You'll also catch news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour, so keep it locked, folks. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's hear those boos again, shall we?
Something's wrong.
The road is long, baby, now.
Or to either ride or phone.
I'm coming home and never more to roam.
Baby, tell me you're
baby, I'm for sure coming home.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Well, Semper Fi, guys. We got some. It sounds like we got some fans and some haters. That's okay.
Boo! Boo! Boo!
You're
listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie, and director Sean Hannish joins the show to talk about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Sometimes life's challenges leave you feeling alone. We all need someone who understands and listens without judgment. That's what the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline is for. 988 is free and confidential. Trained counselors are ready to listen and provide support 24/7 for mental health and substance use concerns. You can contact 988 for yourself or for someone you know. Don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988wisconsin.org. 988 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.